here at the National Biodiesel Conference. I'm speaking with Paul Argelopoulos with EPA, and you know, the session, we've had a couple already today. We got another one tomorrow on this new RFS2. What would be some of the key things that you think people in the industry should know to their benefit about the new RFS2?
Well, I think first off, we have a final rule, which I think provides certainty to the market, and people can understand now what the final decisions were and what they need to do to comply. I think with respect to the biodiesel sector, most importantly, we have set a combined 2009 and 2010 standard. So we've affirmed what we proposed both in the 2008 notice as well as last May in our proposed rulemaking. We believe that that does look to satisfy the intent of the Act by supplying the market with the opportunity to blend those volumes, and then also ultimately to be able to provide the flexibility and use the flexibility for compliance to utilize the RINs from last year or the credits of the volumes from last year towards this year's obligations. I think the other thing that we also would want the people to know is that we've maintained the energy value of the compliance for the various products. So we've compared it, as we did in the RFS1 program, to the energy value of ethanol, which gets a value of 1, and biodiesel gets a value of 1.5. So that gives it an extra value in the market, both from the determination of the value of the credit itself, and then also ultimately for the ability for the obligated parties to use it for compliance with a number of different categories in the advanced.
So at this point, what would you encourage producers, not just biodiesel either, but what should they be doing prior to July 1st?
Well, most certainly I think they should be digging through the regulations. I think they need to look to understand them. Some of the most urgent needs that we need is for them to understand what the registration and reporting requirements are, how they differ from the previous regulation, and of course for new producers, they're going to need to really look deep and understand what they are. We're willing to work with them. We're willing to provide as much information and clarity as possible, and as a matter of fact, we're looking at doing a number of different webinars where you can actually get on, work through the registration requirements with us, and our web tools are also available for people to go on and kind of understand what those requirements are and learn how to submit and where to submit.
Is there anything you can say in terms of cost for registration and compliance? Does that vary significantly by type of operation?
Well, I think it's going to be relatively standard. The costs are in the actual document itself. I do not recall what the costs are. If I said that they were minimal, people would probably disagree based on who they are. But relatively speaking, I mean, it is, you know, understanding what the requirements are, making sure that you have the appropriate paperwork. The system itself is web-based, and or actually there's a system which you go in and you can do all of this online. So I think we have the appropriate tools, but most certainly if people don't understand it or are having problems, we would like to have them contact us so we can make sure they get the understanding they need.
And you mentioned those web tools, potential webinars coming up. Can you direct us where we go, just to the EPA website?
Yeah, I mean, you could go to the EPA website, and specifically our office is the Office of Transportation and Air Quality. You could look in that particular website, and we have a fuels and a renewable fuels segment. You would be able to access the regulations, the documentation supporting that, fact sheets, and then also links to the appropriate web-based tools.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Paul, for taking a few minutes with me here at the National Biodiesel Conference. I'm Chuck Zimmerman reporting.